Okay, we're picking up the Gemara in Yod Beis, Amud Beis. We are four lines from the bottom of this. Avar Shimi Bar Ashi. So it says the Gemara now, Amar of Shimi Bar Ashi, Loshanu Ela Bisha'o. So talking about, again, we mentioned on the Mishnah in Yod Beis, and the dinim of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, whether they had a 2-hour ruling or a 3-hour ruling, or even more, according to Rav, it was even longer period of time, people can make a mistake. The Gemara is now establishing that is only bishos, that was only referring to the hours during the day. Aval echad omer kodem haitzacham, but one of the witnesses says that, let's say, Reuven killed Shimon before sunrise. And the other one says that it happened 20 minutes later after Netzachama. So it's even within the same hour. Even according to that, according to everybody, everyone's going to agree that you fully get rid of their edus, and you don't accept their edus. Why? Because we're assuming sunrise is a clear demarcation of what time should be, what it should be. Therefore, if they're making a chiluk on this edus, then for sure they are sosur one another, and therefore it's a clear showing of what the time is, and then we would be batal the edus. The Gemara says, "Hanami pshita," but this is also obvious. Why do you have to mention this? So Gemara says, "Ma'ad seima tarvayu chada mil sakarmi." Both of them are saying one thing. V'ha'ad akamar, the one who's saying b'socha neitzachama begili avakai, he's talking about that it occurred at sunrise. It meant that it was at when it was starting the rays of the sun are starting to glow. That was the first shita. Zizuri ba'alma hu techaze, he was sealing the radiance, as we mentioned, coming up, and he was making a mistake. He thought the sun was already rising. Kamash b'lan, the Ravashi is telling us that this would not be the case, and therefore there is a chiddush that we would assume that the testimony is invalid. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, we passing like Rabbi Yehuda, that we say that on the arba shaos you could eat it, and the chamesh shaos you're not allowed to eat anymore, only bitola. You can only get it to your animals, you're not allowed to eat it or anymore, and it has to get rid of it in the six hours, opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, allows you to eat everything in the fifth hour. The Gemara now says, Amar le Rav Rav Nachman. Now Rav said to Rav Nachman, V'neimar malach gemerim, why don't you pass on like Rameir, that you can eat it up until even in the fifth hour? Remember, because the Gemara answers now, D'sasav lan tana kavase, because the Tana, a stam Tana, whenever there's stam, the Tana does not give an authorship, the Mishnah doesn't show a name of an author, it just says something, that's called a stam Tana, and whenever the Mishnah does that with an author, that's clearly showing the Mishnah is very authoritative, that you don't even have to mention who it is, because everyone agreed that that's psak. So how do I have that? The stam Mishnah is going to be later on. On Daf Chaf Aleph, Kol Shah Shemuter Le'echol, as long as it is permitted to eat Chametz Ma'achil, one is allowed to feed it to his animals. What is Gemara saying? That the diuk is, the implication would be that when one is not permitted for a person to eat Chametz, he would not feed it to his animals. This seemed to line up with Rabbi Meir, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the fifth hour a person is not allowed to eat Chametz, yet you are allowed to give it to your animals. There is a chilek in dinim according to Rabbi Yehuda. So this doesn't sound like Rabbi Yehuda, this Mishnah doesn't sound like Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says, no, that's not even Shitas Rabbi Meir. He loves Tamahu, Mishum, the kasha mutter, the lashon of that mishnah was actually difficult for Rameir as well. The lashon of mutter and the mishnah over there is actually following Rav Gamliel. Rashi tells us from Mir Tashem. We'll get to that Gemara in a week. The Gemara over there, Rashi says, is the Gemara asks. When you say kol shasha ochel imachel mibayle, it should say kol shasha ochel machil. It shouldn't say mutter lechor. This is actually lashon of mutter. So therefore, the lashon of mutter, it sounds like that it's mutter for some people, not for others. That is the diuk. It's like Rabbi Gamliel, that only kohanim can be eating truma in the fifth hour. Nobody else is allowed to eat. That's like Rabbi Gamliel. And so therefore, that mishnah, that stam mishnah, is like Rabbi Gamliel. So Gemara says, wait a second. If we have a stam mishnah like Rabbi Gamliel, like we saw in the Mishnah, again, we had the three shitas in the Mishnah that we just mentioned yesterday's daf. So we had Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Meir. So why don't we pass on like Rabbi Gamliel? So where it says, V'nima halacha mark halacha Rabbi Gamliel, David lemachriya, because he's the one who is gonna be, machriya. When you have machlokas, two tanoim, you have Rabbi Meir on one side, Rabbi Yehuda on the other side, and Rabbi Gamliel seems to be leaning towards one of those shitas, so maybe we should pass in like Rabbi Gamliel. That's a general rule, that if you have a third tana who is agreeing somewhat, even totally or even somewhat with another tana, we should combine those two shitas to assume that's the rov, and that would take the other side that's disagreeing with them. We would deny the other shita. In this case, we should be denying Rabbi Meir. We should be following Rabbi Gamliel because he is somewhat, he's similar. Rabbi Yehuda would agree with him a little bit, and therefore we'd go like Rabbi Gamliel because Rabbi Yehuda agrees with him a little bit against that of Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, why don't we do that? The Gemara says, because Amrle, Rabbi Gamliel, lav machriyahu. In this case, Rabbi Gamliel is not considered someone who is being machriya, who's tipping the balance. Rather, Tam Dinav Shekamer, he's saying his own shita. He's saying his own opinion, and his own opinion over here, in the case of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Gamliel's view is completely different. He's talking about eating chametz during the fifth hour, eating truma in the fifth hour. Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't allow you to eat truma in the fifth hour. That does something that's fundamentally different. And he doesn't make a chiluk about other people being allowed to eat. He says you can give it to your behemoths, but not that other people are allowed to eat. So therefore, we don't assume that's machriya. We can't assume that he's similar to Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore we can't assume he's like Rabbi Meir either, because Rabbi Meir says everyone could eat in the fifth hour. So he's just a third shita completely. You don't have any rove of shitas, and therefore we're not necessarily going to pass him like Rabbi Gamliel. So the Gemara says, maybe we can give a different ruling for Rav. Rav, the Amar Ketan. Rav is going to go like the following Braisa. The sign of the Braisa tells us, Arba Asar Shechalias B'Shabbos, the 14th falls out on Shabbos. So then, what are we going to say? Again, we want to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, so how is that going to be? We're going to see that from the Braisa. That if you have the 14th that falls out on Shabbos, this hasn't happened in a while. Mavirnas Akol Milfnei HaShabbos. What do? You have to get rid of all the chametz before Shabbos. V'sorf and shumas tmeis lois droz. You can burn the chametz of shuma that's tameh and shuma that's taloi. You're not sure if it's tameh. Again, because you're going to have to get rid of all this chametz anyway. Normally we show by shmartem. So shmartem something by truma. It says that you have to be shomer the truma. That's an insert of rice to get rid of it. Here, obviously, because it's going to come chametz, you're allowed to get rid of the truma. That's the chiddush over here. Mishayin min haTorah mazon shtei sudas, and you leave over two meals for Shabbos. Aye, what happened to shalosh sudas? Rashi's bothered by that. What happened to shalosh sudas over here? Here we don't have the shalosh sudas because you're not able to eat it after the chatzos. We see the chora that the ikar's manim of the three sudas is that you can't eat shalosh sudas before chatzos. That's how we pass in Shulchan Aruch. You're not yotzei shalosh sudas if you have it any time before chatzos. So that's, I don't know if people are aware of that, but that's the maisa comes up. And also we see that a person's sudas are maybe supposed to have a specific time. That's a shayla. Do you have the one at Friday night? What if you missed the Friday night suda? Can you have the three the next day? Okay, those are all shaylas about halachas of shalosh sudas. And also the second suda, dafka, should be before chatzos. Again, we don't learn from the Gemara necessarily. I'm just mentioning Agav. There are specific halachas, specific zmanim for the meals. That people should be aware of that. So the Gemara continues again. Misharman tzaros mazon shtei sudas kidei lechol ha'ar bashos. In order to eat enough through the first 4 hours of the day, we see over here that this point is following Rabbi Yehuda. It says that the chametz has to eat by the fourth hour. Dei Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda ish bar Tusa, he's paskening Shamar Shem Rishua that was paskening like Rabbi Yehuda. Amru lo, so now the Braisa just relates, what do they say back to him? Tahoros lo yisarf, you shouldn't burn the Tahoros yet, meaning the Truma, because we're talking about Truma Tahora. Wait, Shema Yemetzel Lemekolch, maybe the Kohanim are going to come to the city and they're going to be hungry on Shabbos. You'll be able to feed them more, so you don't have to waste the Truma yet. So the Gemara is saying, but what do you mean? So Amar Lehen, Kvar Bakshu V'lamatu, up until now, they were willing to give them out to any Kohanim who wanted to eat it, and we couldn't find any Kohanim. So we obviously see there's no point of holding it on to any longer. What's going to accomplish by keeping them? Rather, you should get rid of them now. Maybe there was someone who was outside the walls. No one knew in the city knew that they was coming, but he was within the tchum. And so since he was in the tchum Shabbos, there wouldn't be an issue of him coming in. And he's a kohen; he wants to eat truma. The Gemara says, "Amar lahem l'divrechem af tluyos lo yisarfus." And according to what you're saying, meaning if you're such a far fetched thing that someone who might come outside the tchum, who's a kohen, who's perfectly tall, is able to have this truma, is that really that's the same chance of that? Maybe according to tluyos then. The truma that we're not sure if it was tahor or tamei, maybe we can assume lo yisarf, you shouldn't burn them. Shemei avo Eliyahu v'itarim. Eliyahu is going to come and he's going to say that they're tahor. We know that the sveikos Eliyahu is going to come and be machria. He's going to be machria whether this truma was tahor or tamei, whether you have to burn it or whether you're allowed to eat it. So the Gemara says Amra lo kvar muftach lam Yisrael. Now they responded that we already have a masorah, a special masorah she'ein Eliyahu ba lo be'er Shabbos lo be'er yom tovim nei atorach, because it's going to be difficult. We already started preparing for Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's too difficult for Eliyahu to come at this point, so we wait for Eliyahu he's not going to come. So therefore, in Echanami, maybe Eliyahu would come in the Tluyos you shouldn't get rid of on Thursday, but Lemaisa, we know he's not going to come on Shabbos, so you can assume that you can get rid of them already or before him because he's not coming on Shabbos, which is Erev Pesach. Just Ara over here, so I forgot where, maybe one of the Sfarim on Shabbos that I was reading one time, a beautiful Vort, and he said, Lemaisa, we've waited for so many thousands of years for Mashiach and Eliyahu to come, and yet, because Erev Shabbos, we're matriach. We're saying that he's not going to come. Lamai says, "Let him come." We see how chashuv and how important it is to be ready and get prepared properly for Shabbos Kodesh. So strong, how careful a person has to be with getting ready for Shabbos Kodesh. On the other hand, I think the Kovetz Shurim, the Rav Yashuv in his sefer quotes that when it says Lashon of Muftach Lam Yisrael, that Muftach is always like a promise. That's a good thing. So how is this good? He's saying Eliyahu Navi is going to delay coming. Why is that a good thing? So he gives a different word. He says that it means that if he's not going to come in Erev Yontif, that means he's going to even come a day earlier. So since he's going to come a day earlier, Mashiach's coming a day earlier. That's amazing because it's chus that we're preparing for Shabbos. Another nice idea, different kivunim for explaining this this idea, this beautiful vart about Eliyahu not coming on Erev yet Shabbos and Erev Yontif. The Gemara continues. Amru lozaza misham adchikav halach Rabbi Lezer ben Yehuda yishpartuta shemar b'shem Yeshua. We paskin like Rabbi Lezer ben Yehuda in the name of yishpartuta, in the name of Yeshua. So we see that we're paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says now this halacha that we're paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. My lava filo echel that Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah also said in that brisa said that we're going also. You're not allowed to eat until the fourth hour. That's the time you have to stop. We see that's a raya for Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara answers, Amar Papa, Mishmin Dagova, Lo Levar. Here we're talking about the lacha with regard to Rabbi Yehuda, only with regards to getting rid of your chametz before the fact that you get rid of them before Shabbos. But when it comes to the lacha of eating, we're not necessarily going to pass like Rabbi Yehuda that you don't have a raya from this price. So the Gemara continues giving a raya for Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi serve lacha of Nachman. Rabbi agrees with Nachman. Amar Ravin Bar Adam Maisa. So he left a whole baggage of chametz with Yochanan Chukai to watch over. He was a shomer for him. So when Erev Pesach was coming, Maitz had come and the chametz leaked out and it was starting to get ruined. And he came before Erev to ask what he should do with them. Should he sell them? Shari Shonam Elohim says, wait for the guy. Maybe he's going to come back. Because again, it's not his. He didn't know exactly what he's supposed to do with the guy whose produce it is, with the guy whose chametz it was. Shni Amar Lo Hamtin. Second hour, he also told him to wait. Shlishes Amar Lo Hamtin. Third hour, he told him to wait. Revius, he skipped going away. Am Chametz Shem Lo. At the fifth hour, you should be careful because now it's usher to eat. So go and sell it. Go tzer mocha bashuk, go sell it in the market. So we see from here, my love, the Nachrim, you can only sell it to the goy because at the end of the day, Rabbi Yehuda, meaning this is a raya for Rabbi Yehuda because he's not, we're assuming right now that it's usher behana after the fourth hour, and that's why he can only sell it to non-Jews. Sorry, not usher behana, usher to eat it. It's still mutter behana. So he can sell it to the goyim, but he's not allowed to eat it himself. So therefore, that's why he's not selling it to a Jew. He's selling it to a non-Jew. Rabbi Yehuda, we see that this is a raya. The story with Ravada is going to be a proof for that we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, no, I'm Rabbi Yosef, lo li Israel. This was talking about you can sell it even to a Jew, Rabbi Meir, and this would be following Rabbi Meir, who allows you to eat chametz up until the fifth hour. So again, we're in the fourth hour already. Past the fourth hour, into the fifth hour, Rabbi Meir would allow you to still eat it, so you can sell it to a Jew. So the Gemara says, the Gemara asks, so, Amar le Abaye, Abaye has a question, Eli Israel, if you're selling them to a Jew at this time, Nishka le Lenavshe, then he should take it for himself and be able to give the owner the money back. Why is it matriach to go and sell it to someone else, to another Jew? Why can't he just have it himself? So that, and then he'll pay back the guy whatever the market value was. And my answer is because the guy's going to be afraid that you didn't give the right price, that you took a cheap price for yourself, and he's going to accuse you of cheating him. The sanya we learn under price a gabay tzedaka. If you have people who are the gabays on the tzedaka, who have no poor people to give the money to, so then they could exchange the money. Let's say they were, Rashi points out that, let's say they're copper coins. And we know that coins in times of Chazal, if they lost the mintage on them, they're going to be invalidated. So then, if that's going to happen, they're going to lose their status of the whatever value they had. So we're afraid it's going to happen, so you can exchange them for other coins. But important lots, when you're not allowed to exchange it with themselves, you can't, they would exchange them onto silver coins, which are worth more, so it's easier, less you have to handle, and so they'd be able to exchange them, but you shouldn't do the exchange. And Gabay Tamkoi, similar when it comes to the people who give out the, Tamkoi was the actual food, right? This was like the, what we call like a soup kitchen. They would give out the food to people who mamash had nothing to eat. The Elahem Anim, it's a higher status of meaning, it's even poorer people. So Elahem Anim Lechalek, who have no poor people to give the food to, meaning that day, whatever it was, no poor people came, so they have the whole meal. What should they do with the meal? They should sell them to other people. And they'll use the money next time to buy more meals for people who want it. But you shouldn't be the one to buy the meal. This is where we see it's a deraisa, seemingly, that a person has to be careful not to have a, Rav Shechter likes to point it out, that you're not a balabais in your own name. That a person has to have a good reputation. We see from this pasuk that a person has a good reputation. You're not a balabais to have a bad name for yourself. That you show up by Yisim Nakim Lashel tells you that you're not even a balabais in your own reputation. Hashem wants everyone to have a good reputation. Rav Shechter always likes to point out, there's Tzvei Dinim. When it comes to Maris Ayin, you could have Maris Ayin that's a Lifne Iver, that if I walk into McDonald's, everyone's going to think that, oh wow, this guy, not me, a Rav walks into McDonald's, a good holy tzaddik walks into McDonald's, everyone's going to think, oh, this is kosher. it's a good reason to go into the McDonald's. So that would be one way. That's what's called lifnei iver, because people are going to think the thing that you're doing is okay. The other way is chshad, is that look at the sheikhs, look at the rabbi, he was so frum before, and now he's walking into McDonald's. That's this issue. That would be this issur of Yisim Nakim Hashem Yisrael, two different ideas of what the issue could be. So now over here, again, where this is what we're afraid, even though you know you're doing the right thing, but since you're going to lose a bad reputation, the guy's going to accuse you of stealing, accuse you of giving a fair price, so you should not be the one to be, that's why you sell it to another Jew, the chametz of this guy, of the show, you're the shomer for this chametz, that's why you sell it to the other Jew. The Gemara continues now, Amar le Ravada bar Masne le Rav Yosef, beferish Amar lan. So the Gemara says now, Rav Yosef forgot his learning, so they said, Rav Yosef, you told us explicitly, you shouldn't have a question on this, say Amachar Anachim, Dafka, you should sell it to the Goyim, like Rabbi Yehuda, that you should not be allowed to eat it, and therefore you can't sell it to another Jew to eat, obviously, because he's in no usage for him to eat it, and therefore you yourself should be passing like Rabbi Yehuda, and this would go like Rabbi Nachman. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Yosef, Kiman Azla Hashmaita to the Rebbe. So who does this Shita of Rebbe go like, that it's permitted to sell? And the guy's not going to lose his money. You don't want the guy to lose his money. Meaning his chametz is going to be completely worthless in 2 hours from now when it comes to Asar Bana. This is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The son of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, talking about the Mishnah in Bava Metzia, Mafkid Peres Etzel Chaver. If I leave my produce with my friend, Afilu and Avudim, even if they're going to become ruined due to mice or whatever it's going to be, Lo Yigav Behem, a person who's the shomer should not touch it. He's not allowed to sell it. Rabbi Gamliel says, Mokram Gamliel Omer Mokram Bevestim Nei Ashavas Aveda, that you are allowed to sell it because it's going to, guys losing money on it, and he would want you to sell it, so therefore, Rabbi Gamliel allows you to sell it. So the Gemara wants to assume that this Shita is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, or rather Shimon Gamliel, is like Rebbe, because Rebbe allows you to sell this guy's chametz, even though you don't know explicitly that he would tell you to sell the chametz. You have the right to sell it, because you can assume that case, same thing with the guy, the Shomer, who's watching the item that's going to get ruined. The Gemara says, Amar Abai, no, this is going to be everybody. Didn't we learn on that very Mishnah? Amar Amchan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he explained the Mishnah, Lo Shanu, Rabbi Yochanan says, Lo Shanu Ella, turning on to the next someone now, Lo Shanu Ella, Bichdei Chitronan, that this is only going to be, this machlokas was only when it's going the normal way, that it's going down $5 a year because whatever, it's getting older, it's getting rusty, you want to just sell it for him and give him the money. That's the way that it normally goes. He knows that it's going to lose its value every day, every time $5 a day. That's where Tanakhama will disagree and say not to sell it. However, if it's losing for some reason, something happened to it, where it's going to lose tons of value and tons of money every day that you wait on selling it, then everyone would agree. Mochran, Bebeistin, everyone, even the Tanakhama is going to agree that you would sell it. So over here, the Koshkin Hacham, everyone would agree over here then, if that's the case. The Tanakhama would for sure tell you that you'd be allowed to sell the Chametz in this case, because it's going to come ownerless. He's going to lose every single dollar that it's worth. He would for sure want you to sell it, and therefore everyone would agree to hab sidi gamay, it's going to lose it totally, then everyone would agree that you're allowed to sell it, and that's the case the Gemara wants to tie in, it would be the halacha in this case. Now the Gemara continues, well, Rabbi Yehuda, this is the net hemshech of the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us, shtei chalas that were psulos were left on the itzaba, that you have the two loaves of bread of the toda that were pasul, were left on the benches in the base of Middash on Erev Pesach. So the Gemara says, Tana Temek of Rav Yehuda, the teacher of Braisa said before Rav Yehuda, a version of Rav Yehuda's statement that said, al gav itzaba, on the top of the bench, implying the loaves were placed on the actual benches. However, Amar Lei, Rav Yehuda didn't like that version of the Braisa that was said in front of him. V'chilatz, Nianu Tzarech, he says, the end of the day, why did the guy put it there? He wants to hide them? Meaning that's not, it's supposed to be in a place that was a simen, and a clear simen, a clear signal for everybody that you should stop eating their chametz, and you're leaving them on the little benches, they're not so high. And that's even on the top of the benches, rather on top of the roofs of the benches, which are much higher, and everyone could see them, that is where they left the two loaves, and that's why it was a good simen for everyone to know when they should stop eating the chametz. The Gemara continues, Amar, Rechava Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rechava said in the Rabbi Yehuda, Harabai Stav Kaful Hayad, that the Beis HaMikdash, they had a double rows of benches, one row inside the other row. That's how they look like. If you have a picture, it would be helpful to see exactly what it looked like. Tanan HaMihachi, so the Braisa is supporting this. Harabai Stav Kafulaya, it was a double row of benches. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda by Stavnus Haya Nikreis, they called it Istavnus, that they called it something that was the benches that they used to have in front of a store. Stav lifnim is stav, which is a row of benches inside a row of benches, like again, similar to Lashon, that it's a double Lashon, it's a double bench. Now the Mishnah continues. Psulos hayo, that they were invalid korbanos toda. The Gemara says, amai psulos. Why were they invalid? Amar b'chanina mitoch shehayu merubas, because there were so many toda offerings that were brought the day before, and if sells pelina, it became inevitable that they would become invalid by night. And we know that a toda can be in by day, one day, and one night. So since everyone was bringing on the 13th tons of korbanos toda, and they would have 40 loaves, normally you would invite all your friends. That's the whole point. Mizrach Soda, you would have a whole gansa suda, and everyone you would thank everyone would be there. You'd have a whole party, and everyone would have the bread with you. So if tons of people were bringing the bread on the 13th, thousands of people, there's not enough to go. There's too much rather to go around. So there's definitely going to be leftovers. So the Gemara says, and therefore they're going to be pasul from the next morning, and that, then they would put those psulos on the benches. And where it says this, as we know, the Brisa says in Ravina's Toda b'chag matzah, there's not a living korban toda on the liyantiv of Pesach itself. Because there was actually chametz, one of the loaves of bread were brought was actual chametz, so you couldn't bring the korban toda. The Gemara says pshita. It's obvious that if you're not allowed to eat chametz, obviously you can't bring the korban toda, which was chametz. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav the Rava, halcha bar basar baskin." No, even on the 14th of Nisan, where chametz in the morning is still allowed before the sixth hour, you're still not allowed to bring a korban toda. But kasavar and levin kachim levi sabsul, because the Tana holds that someone's not allowed to bring kachim to become invalidated earlier than the time they're supposed to be. Normally, a toda is supposed to be the whole day and the whole night that night as well. So this, you're only giving a few hours. Let's say you brought it right after. Let's say that the netzacham was at 6 a.m. So you brought it at 6:30. So you only have from 6:30 till 12. You're mimayit a whole day that you would normally be able to eat all the way in through that day and through the next night. So clearly, we hold that that you're not, since you're not allowed to do that, you're not allowed to bring the korban toda. So that is v'kuli alma b'shloshes from yom. Therefore, everyone was coming on the other regal anyway. They wanted to bring the korban toda. So thousands of people were bringing the toda the day before, and to be tochshen meruba. So many people were bringing korban toda again, and there was tons of loaves of bread with them. So then, oh nifsalas belina, they would become invalidated that night because you wouldn't have enough people to give over the bread. And since it was for sure happening that there'd be some leftover bread, that's what the dafka they would use for the simon over here, a specific korban that was pasul anyway, and that they'd burn with the chametz later on. We just see from here, Agav, an important point that they would not bring the korban toda not on erev Pesach and not on Pesach. Now we hold in simon and aleph that the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that we don't with the way Ashkenazim, we don't say mizmor toda on a time because of neshama parim sefasenu. Because we want our words are going to be like we bring the korbanos, so we want the words that we say should be like korbanos. So we actually view that halacha l'maaseh very very carefully, that we don't even say Ashkenazim, at least I think Sfardim have a different minhag, but Ashkenazim do not say mizmor l'toda not on erev Pesach and not on Pesach and not on erev Yom Kippur as well because of this drasha on erev Pesach. That's the drasha. That's why we don't say it. If a person says mizmor l'toda, he's not you're allowed to bring the korban toda on that day. So therefore, since he's not bring the korban toda on that day, we do not. Say Mizmor L'Soda. So that's what comes out from this Gemara that they did not bring in Erev Pesach, and that's why we don't say Mizmor L'Soda. Now the Gemara continues. Mishum Rabbi Yana, and now in the name of Rabbi Yana, they said Kisheres Hayah, that the loaves of bread were in fact kosher once. Ve'ela Maikar L'Psul. So why did they call them Pasul Korbanos? Shelo Nishchad Alein Azevach, because they didn't bring the korban that had to be brought with them. Now, when a person has lachme toda that was included in the korban toda was the actual animal that had to be slaughtered, and that was the ikar part. And then that also came with it was the bread that came with it. So now we're assuming over here that if the korban had not been brought yet, so then the bread is not yet going to be kadosh, so it's not considered pasul yet. So Gemara says, so then v'nishchad, why didn't they shech the animal that we're talking about over here, the korban toda, why didn't they bring it? So Gemara says, because it must be Sha'avad HaZevach, because I'm in a case where the actual, the animal got lost. So the Gemara says, V'nei Shizevach HaKav V'nishcha, so bring another animal and use that in its stead. Damar Zo Toda V'zo Lachma, because the Gemara says now that, at the end of the day, we say that because we say that this is the toda and this is the bread. What does Rabba say? Damar Rabba, Avar Alecha Mevi Lechem Acher. Av the toda imi vilechem acheres. If a person loses the toda, you cannot bring another toda in its stead. When it comes to Avar Alechem, you can bring another piece of bread. Why? Because the bread is subordinate to the, we're going to flesh out the reason, Maitam, because Lechem Gala Toda, but the bread is considered a toda, a secondary thing of the actual korban itself. So if you lose the bread, you only lost the secondary thing, so replace that secondary thing. However, v'ein toda gala lechem, the toda itself cannot be offered because of the bread. The bread is secondary to it. So you can't bring another toda and tell me it's becoming because of the bread. It has nothing to do with the bread. The bread should not be, the bread is tafel to it. It's secondary, and you lost that korban, you would not be allowed to bring another one. So then, these loaves were not allowed to be used for any toda, and therefore it was going to be put on the itztabot. So where it says v'nifkiru v'nafkiru l'chol, wait a second. But if they're in the day, if they lost the toda yet, they were considered kedushas haguf. There's kedushas damim rather. Kedushas damim means that they were consecrated through the money. So you'd be allowed to be poded that money. It's not kedushas haguf. If it's kedushas haguf, you wouldn't be allowed to poded. If it's kedushas damim, you would be allowed to be poded. So as long as they don't have the right, they don't have that status yet. So then you would be allowed to be poded the animal. So Gemara says, "Ela la'olam shenishchat aleihem azevach." Rather, we're talking about a case where the korban actually was brought. We're talking about a case where the korban was brought, and in which case there is no longer you're not allowed along the pigeon. You're not allowed to redeem it anymore. V'nishpach adam, but the blood was spilled before they actually had a chance to complete the avodah. So since the blood was spilled, you actually didn't do the blood part. So any korban that's brought, it's only going to be permitted to eat after the zrikas damim, after the blood had been sprinkled. So here, the blood you didn't have the zrika, and it was actually spilled, and it was not even brought. So therefore, it already became kadosh because you did the shchita and you started to do the avoda. But however, since the blood hadn't been brought yet, we assume that the guy is not allowed to be poda this lechem anymore, this bread. So the Gemara says, Uchiman, and according to who do we say that if you bring the korban alone and you didn't do the zrika, that is enough to invalidate the lechem? That is the shita of Rebbe. The Amar Rebbe, as Rebbe teaches us, what does Rebbe say? Rebbe says, Amar Rebbe, shnei dvarim matirin malin zeh below zeh, that two things are permitted and they can each one elevate one without the other. Now what is he talking about? That toda, the bread of the toda, lachmei toda, they become permitted to eat only after two actions are performed. That you have to do the shechita and also the zrikas damim. According to Rebbe, as soon as one of these are done, then it cuts the kedusha. It gets the kedusha, which you no longer can. The kedusha is a guf, which you can no longer redeem it anymore. And therefore, we assume that in that case, you would have a chiyuv to let them become pasul and get rid of them. So the Gemara says, Desanya, Kivsei Aseres, there's two things. One of them is going to be the Kivsei Aseres, the lamb that they used to bring on Shavuos. That also was brought with bread as well, the Shtei Alechem of the Shavuos, Korban. Ein Mekadshinus Alechem Ela B'Shchita. They do not be Mekadish them only with Shchita. Ketzed, how's that the case? If Shachtan Shel Shman V'Zarak Daman L'Shman, if you did the Shchita in their own name, in their own sake, if something is done L'Shma, that's the correct way to do it. If it's Shelo L'Shma, then it's going to be a valid Korban, but the Korban is not Oleh for whatever it was supposed to be. So let's say a person had a chiyav to bring a shlamim, and the guy had a kavana for the wrong kavana, so then it wouldn't be you wouldn't get your yotze, your chiyav of a shlamim, it'd be yotze the chiyav of a korban. So similar thing over here, that you'd be yotze the chiyav, however, you'd not be the yotze the chiyav of bringing the kivsei ateres. So that is shachtel lishman, zarek l'man lishman, kiddush alechem, then the bread is going to become kadosh. In which case, the case over here, the blood is going to become kadosh, and therefore you can't no longer do the pidyon. However, shachtan shalolish, but that's in a case where everything went well. Shachtan lishman, vizarakta lishman. What about shachtan shalolishman, vizarakta man shalolishman? Let's say you shechted them, for the right kavana, for the right korban, for the kivsei ateres, but however you threw their blood not for the right kavana, lo kiddush alechem, the bread is not yet going to become kadosh because they would not, you didn't bring the korban for the right purpose, so then it didn't get the chance to become kadosh yet. The lechem is not kadosh yet. Shachtan lishman v'zarak taman shalol lishman. If he shechted them for their own sake, but he then threw their blood. Sorry, shachtan liyav v'zarak taman shalol lishman. You threw the blood. Threw the blood, not for the right kavana, right for the wrong korban. Then lechem kadosh v'eno kadosh. The bread is going to be kadosh and eno kadosh. What does that mean? That we're going to assume that when it came to the fact that the shechita alone, it becomes kedushas ha guf, and therefore they cannot become. You cannot do the pidyon with them. However, since the blood was thrown without the right kavana, it's going to become only the actual korban is going to be like a regular shlamim, but not the kivsei atzeres. So therefore, even though the korban of the kivkavasim that you've shechted are allowed to be eaten, the bread is not, because we don't assume that there's any validation to allow you to eat the lechem. That's what Rashi points out. So divrei Rebbe, that's all Rebbe. Rebbe Lezer b'Shimon says, la'olam eino kadosh alecha, the bread is never going to be kadosh, ad shishcha lishma v'zorak dam lishchan, you need to have both dan lishma. So now we're assuming now that Rav Yanai, who was explaining it, that was according to Rebbe, which he said that the loaves of the toda, the lachmei toda, they could become kadosh with kedushas haguf when the animals are properly shechted, even though you didn't do the dam yet. That's what we're seeing from here. So the Gemara suggests Maybe Rav Yana actually works l'kulei alma. The Gemara suggests now. Afilu tamer Rav Elazar Rav Shimon halcha ma'askina. What are we discussing over here? Gigon she'iskabel adam bekos v'nishpach. We're talking about the blood was collected with the toda. However, they spilled it out, and it could still become. Why could the lechem become invalidated? Because Rav Elazar is going to hold like Rav Shimon l'kulei avoy. He's going to hold like his father. That damar kol ha'obe lizra kizaruk tami. Because anything that can theoretically be thrown, meaning the korban that was brought in the kos, that was brought in the cup, and you didn't have a chance to do this rika yet, since already at that point it was brought in the kos, it's like it's thrown, and therefore logically we view it as the lechem being kadosh and no longer has a chance to become the pidyon. That's what we see from if you hold of kol omer lizra kizarok dami. The Gemara quotes now another type of toda tana mishum Rabbi Elazar amru ksheros hayu, that the loaves of bread were completely valid kozman shemunuchas kol ha'om ochlim, that all the while whether in their right place all the people would eat nit la'achas, when one of them was taken tolin they would leave them and they would not eat yet. Lo achlim velo surfin, that's like Rabbi Huda. Nit lashteyam, if both are removed, etchilu kulan surfin, all of them again burning the chametz. So we see it from over here that this braisa is teaching us that it was also lach meitoda that were completely kosher. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Tanya Abashal, Omer Abashal says, shtei paros hayu chorshos bar mishcha. So this is giving a different siman. The braisa is saying that they used to have two cows as a siman as opposed to the two lach meitoda. The two cows are plowing on harazesim. Kozman shteim chorshos, as long as both of them were plowing, kol ha'am ochlim, all the people who would eat their chametz, nitalas achas, when one of them was removed, tolin, then they would again not be allowed to eat, they would feed their animals, lo ochlim, lo surfing, nit l'shtayim, if both of them removed, etchilu kol ha'am surfing, everyone see the simon, and they began burning their chametz. Okay, Amirta Hashem, we will pick up tomorrow with the start of the famous sugyas of Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim, which will need quite an introduction. They're probably the seven hardest dapim in the Masechta. They all deal with Tumah Vetara. The next seven dapim are very difficult. Amirta Hashem will get through them, B'siyata D'Shmaya, but I'll give an introduction tomorrow, also a very important one, because they are going to give us the Hemsheikh. There's a lot of shitas, a lot of things to remember. Hopefully we'll have as much clarity as we can, and Amirta Hashem will pick up tomorrow.